And so, you know, you don't have to look too far in our world to see there's some trouble going on. Lots of trouble, and we recognize it, and it's intensifies, and we keep an eye on it. But and the reason for it is because everything has gotten out of order. God's creation has been been taken off its tracks, and I think we read last week that all creation is groaning. All creation's been subjected to this futility, and we see it happening in our world today, and we're not blind to it. But everything is out of order. You know, when God made the world, he wove his plans and purposes in it, and even the wind blew. The breezes from heaven would blow according to God's plans. The currents of the sea would flow in orderly fashion. Everything flowed in an orderly fashion because God sets things in order. We trust him every Sunday to set his meeting in order, and that he had ordered the word, that he had ordered the songs that are being sang. And we want to hear from heaven. We want to hear from God. We want to hear his word. We want to be introduced to the King of Kings, and I hope God gives us all eyes to see the King today. And so everything, you know, was to flow in God's order, in orderly cycles, but after sin came into the world, it derailed everything. And I want you to know God is the God of order. He is. But the trouble is when sin come into the world, it moves against heavenly breezes. It swims upstream against all that flows from heaven. And it has caused such rebellion in the earth. And man is turned away from the creation of God. In the rebellion, in their sin, they've turned away. And I want to tell you this, there's no remedy for the old creation. There's no remedy for it. There is no cure except one. And that's the birth of a new creation. Amen. And it's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And we need to hear the truth, that because the truth will set us free. And the only escape from the condemnation, the death that's coming on the old creation, is to become a new creation. And that's why God our Father spoke Jesus Christ into a virgin's womb. Jesus was going to start a new order of things. Jesus would start a new creation. Hallelujah. And that new creation would be, ooh, what's the word I'm looking for? Come on, don't have a 70s moment now. This new order, this new creation would be uncorrupted by sin and unconquered by death. Whoa. Unconquered by sin. Unconquered by death. And the Spirit of Christ has not been compromised. The Spirit of Christ is incorrupted by sin, uncorrupted by sin, and it's death couldn't hold it. He's incorrupted by death, unconquered by death. Hallelujah. And so what the Lord did is now he calls his church, and he breathes that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead into every one of us that belong to him. And so now we have the Spirit of Christ in us that's uncorrupted by sin and unconquered by death. Hallelujah. Really, we've talked about it before. The Lord has, Jesus has come along. He causes us to be born again. It's because he's created a new creation, a new species of man. Hallelujah. That's, like we said, uncorrupted by sin and unconquered by death. Hallelujah. And so spiritually, I'm going to live forever. Praise God. And I know I'm going to get a new body one of these days, because this one's wearing out, maybe you noticed. And everybody who lies and is kind say, oh, no, we never noticed. But thank you, Jesus, that he came to usher us into a new creation. Hallelujah. And we say it all the time here, and that, you know, we feed on divine life. That's why we're here this morning. We want to be spiritually fed, Lord. Overwhelm every heart. Feed every soul. Amen. So that we go out different than we come in. And Lord, we want to be feast on divine life. We want to be your reproduction in the universe. Hallelujah. Spiritually and morally. Praise God. We want to be made after your own kind. Amen. And that's what God is doing in the earth these days, church. And that's what he's doing in each one of us. Whew. That's a whole lot of words. I wonder if a pastor should get paid by the word. If he got paid by the word, we'd be here for hours. And the ministers would never say anything. And we'd be lost in words. And so that's not a good plan. Praise God. Don't worry, God's going to repay every minister. Some of them aren't going to like what they get. Well, what was the saying they used in this ministerial association? He said, the gospels become skinny jeans, smoke screens. What? There were something else, too. Tell me, Clay. Okay, but anyway, they said that's what the gospels become, skinny jeans and smoke machines. And what we need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to hear the truth being preached. It's the only thing that'll change a person's life, amen, is the gospel. And so out of this story in Exodus, I want us to take home one thing. Hallelujah, at least one thing. And that is the fact that this thing is from me. It was the Lord stirring up his nest. Do you know how an eagle makes his nest? Makes a nice nest. He fills the bottom of it full of thorns pointing up. And then they put a layer of down over it. So it's nice and soft. Has its chicks and they're happy in there. It's like being at a resort. They get fed twice a day or three times a day. All they got to sit there and chirp, room service. The chicks are fed, but what happens when the chicks start getting heavier and heavier, the thorns start poking through the down, and it makes things pretty uncomfortable in the nest. And so that's how an eagle stirs its nest. And now the Lord was stirring his nest here in Egypt, and things were getting uncomfortable, and he was getting his children ready to move on to a land that flowed with milk and honey. It's time to get out of this place. It's time to move forward. Amen. And so the Lord was activating his plans and purposes, and that's why all the commotion going on in Egypt. But then he needed a man, and he would ordain and call into a ministry to lead them out of there. And we see that in verse 10. Come now, he's talking to Moses, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Amen. So Moses was ordained. This was his ordination service. And he has been given a ministry now. And God would lead him out of there. And God gave him a wonderful promise here. I'm going to use you to lead the children of Israel out. And we know that Moses tried to talk God out of it. It didn't work out so well. And and God had his man. And he was ordained. But Moses would have to activate the promises given to him that he'd be able to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He'd have to activate that word. And he'd have to activate it by obeying it. And that's how, the word of God, Hebrews says it, that the word of God is living. And I found out that in the Word of God, there's life. And as I obeyed it, the life came gushing out. And I began to experience the life in myself. I'd give you a testimony, but everybody's getting too hungry. So the Word of God is living, but the only way to activate the Word of God that's living is to step out on it. Amen. To put it into action. Amen. And so here God had given Moses his word. How many know God's word has a destiny? Amen. God's word has a destiny, and it has to be activated before that word can ever reach its destiny. And God, Moses was the man God chose to activate that word. And what I'm trying to say here is found in Mark 4:24 that says, "Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it'll be measured back to you. And you who hear, more will be given." And so the more you use the word of God, the more life is revealed and given to you. Amen. It says right here in this verse. Praise God. And so now Moses was called to activate the word of God. And, you know, that's why when you hear a sermon, you can, some people say, "That was a good sermon." Some people say, "Oh, man, that put me to sleep." And, you know, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that we take the word that was given and we activate it in our own lives. How important that is. You know, I read the other day, or maybe someone told me, that in the new construction in the housing market, they're putting motion detectors into the lighting systems in the houses. So when I walk into a room, boop, the light goes on. When I walk out of the room, boop, the light goes off. Amen. It's to save hydro. It's to save electricity. And so there's motion detectors put into the lighting system. And but I want us to know that God has put motion detectors into his word. And he waits for some motion before that word is activated and begins to fulfill the destiny that it was sent for in the first place. And so, you know, you can have a room filled with power, but it won't manifest its light until there's movement in these new homes. Hallelujah. And God's word is living, like we said, and it has a destiny. And when we obey it, it activates the word. God is real. Jesus is alive from the dead. Hallelujah. And we serve a living God. Moses' act of obedience greatly affected two nations. It greatly affected two kingdoms. It left one impoverished, beat up, and set the other nation free. Hallelujah. And Moses took God's word and put it in motion. And because he's a covenant-keeping God, he's going to keep his covenant with his children. And that's what he did for Abraham. He kept his covenant with him and changed the direction of two nations. Hallelujah. And so God birthed a nation called Israel that he would use as a stepping stone. You got to get that. It's an old covenant nation, and he would use them for a stepping stone, and he was moving towards a new covenant. He was heading forward to a new plan. Hallelujah. And that, you know, Israel brought forth Christ in the flesh, but the church would bring forth Christ in the spirit. Hallelujah. And or Christ would bring forth the church by his spirit. And so the Lord started an order of things, and it was the order of a new covenant. Praise God. The old creation is corrupt, and the human race has departed from it, and we see all the trouble in the world. It's departed from it, and it has no remedy. It can't be fixed. It's going to be destroyed. It's coming to an end, and there's a part, hallelujah, that Jesus played when he came, and that it was the beginning of a new creation. Hallelujah. And he brings into us, hallelujah, the Spirit of Christ. All those have been born again. The Spirit of Christ dwells in them. And that Spirit of Christ is being uncorrupted by sin and is unconquered by death. Hallelujah. And that Spirit's living in the church. That Spirit's living in each one of us here because we've been made alive from when we were dead in our sins and trespasses. The Spirit of a new creation put into each of us. All we have to do is turn to Jesus. He makes it so simple. You know, the Word of God doesn't just instruct us. It transforms us. It's not here just to inform us. It's here to transform us. And so I started off talking to you about two circles, two spheres where we can live out our life in this natural world with the five senses. Hallelujah. Or we can come to Jesus and ask him about this new creation. And you know, the old is passing away, and the new is going to move on into eternity forever and ever. Amen. And so we have to choose which circle we're going to live in. Amen. One has the sentence of death and one's living forever. And he wants to make everyone alive from the dead. He wants everyone to have this experience. It's an experience that's laying dormant unless we activate it by putting things in motion. And worship team, you can come as I'm speaking here. I'm just going to close things up.